while, and then I'll tell you, a day will be gone, and we don't know where we'll have the privilege of meeting again or not. If you have your Bible, I want you to go to the 15th chapter of the book of John. The 15th chapter of the book of John. Some time ago, I was reading this scripture, and the Lord pointed out some things to me in this scripture, and I always like to for the Lord to point out some things to me. It gets my attention. I know that He wants to say something to me, so I got some things I want to bring before us tonight would help us, I believe, as a Christian. Verse 1, listen to what John, now, John was one of the apostles of the Lord, great man of God. He wrote the book of John, the book of Revelation, and then you got the general epistle of John, three books in it. So it's good that we got men that, I'll tell you, laid down the Word of God for us. I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. Now Jesus is speaking. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. And is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, let me just explain just a little bit of that scripture to you. Here's where people get the idea that you fall from grace, from that verse of scripture in there. That's not what he's talking about at all in this scripture. He's talking about bearing fruit. So that's what we want to think about tonight. I want to read some other scripture. I want to read from Ephesians. You don't have to go there. You just stay with the book of John. I'll be back in a few minutes. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Then also in Philippians 1, I believe, and 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. I'd like to speak to our hearts tonight on this thought. The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. First, let me say that he was talking here, if you abide in me, I abide in you, then you can bring forth fruit. But let me show you some things in the Bible. The source of the fruit. Now, the source is not in the branch. The source of the fruit is not in the branch. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself. He said that in John 4 and 5. He said, I in you, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. That is, well expected fig from the thistles. as the fruit of the Spirit from a carnal mind. God cannot get any fruit from a carnal mind. It doesn't matter who the mind got the carnal mind. It don't bear no fruit for the Lord. So we find here, the source is not in the branch. But let's go one step farther. The source is in Christ Himself. Notice what He said. All the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in Him. That is, in Jesus Christ, all of the Godhead dwelleth in Christ. And so He said, He is as the true and living vine. Now, Christ is the vine. Man, it's He that you got to get hooked in with if you're going to bear any fruit whatsoever for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then He goes on. He said, has its roots in the eternal Father. Now, that's where Christ has His roots, in the eternal Father and His God. So He is the vine, and you and I are the branches, according to the Scriptures here, that He said here to you and to me. So He's saying here, He as a man is the bowl. Now, if you had these seven candlesticks that He mentions over in the book of Revelation, on top of each one of those candlesticks is a little round bowl. Those little round bowls where they poured the oil in that went down and into the candle that kept it alight on all night long in the tabernacle. And so we find here that He said man is the bowl into which the oil flows from the living tree and from which all the lamps receive their supply. It's from God that we receive the supply to bring forth fruit for Him. The fruit that you and I can bring forth, don't amount to anything with God. Man, we got to be in Christ before we can bear fruit. And I'm afraid today that we're failing along this line of bearing fruit for God in the hour in which we live. And He said, and you are filled with the fruit of the Spirit of righteousness. I read that. He said, then the supply is by the Holy Spirit of God. Romans 5:5 gives you that. And we also say the sap and the vine is the beautiful comparison of the Holy Spirit. Now, whenever He said talks about the sap in the vine, He's really talking about the Holy Spirit of God. You have got to have the Holy Spirit in your life, in my life, if we're going to bear fruit for God. That's all there is to it. Why we're not bearing any fruit for the Lord, why we're not bearing much for God, we don't have much of the Spirit of the Lord in us to help us in the hour in which we live. So we find here the Holy Spirit flows through Christ into those who are abiding in Him. The sap quickeneth into newness of life. Now the sap brings life, to the branch. The vine, the branch has to be fastened onto the vine. The vine is in God Himself. That's what He said in the beginning. And then, if we are fastened into the branch, into the real, sap, which is the Holy Spirit of God, we are bound to bring forth fruit for God sometime or another in our Christian walk of life. It just happens like that. And so I want to say then, the supply is by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit supplies the sap that comes in my life and your life to bear fruit for God. And if we're bearing no fruit, we ought to check up and find out what's wrong with our life, because we're supposed supposed to be fruit-bearing Christians out there from day to day for the glory of God. And not only that, we go just a little farther, and it filled the abiding place with the life of the vine. And you find that in John 6 and 63. I could go there out there and just read that for us here. Might do us good to find out out there something here. Notice he said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing, but the word that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And so he's really telling you and I, it's the Spirit of the Lord that you and I need if we're going to bring forth fruit for the glory of God. And for they bring honor and glory unto him. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. A lot of people, I was reading somewhere, I believe this week, and he said that one thing was wrong with this generation. We had a religion without any Spirit of the Lord. That's about right. Did you know that? We got a lot of people have got religion, but they know nothing about the Spirit of Almighty God. We need to know about the Spirit of God. If you've ever been saved by the grace of God, you know what the Spirit of the Lord is. He dwells in you, and if he comes into your life, he never leaves you. He's there continually from now on until you get out of this walk of life. What's wrong? A lot of people don't know nothing about the Spirit of the Lord, have never been born of the Spirit of God. They know nothing about the Spirit of the Lord. And so he said here, for by his Spirit are we made possessors of divine life. Any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. That's just as plain as it can be in the Word of God. Man, you don't have to go and say, well, it means this, it means that. No, it means exactly what it says. That's what the Bible said. If we have not the Spirit, we have none of Christ in us. Man, we're still in our whole life living out there in carnality, living out there to the flesh, and not to the Spirit of God. So that's just about where the biggest part of people are today. In our land, they know nothing about the Spirit of God. All right, now I've showed you the source of the fruit. All right, let's go one step farther. The characteristic of the fruit bearers, they are chosen by God. If you bear any fruit at all, you're going to have to be chosen of God. That is, you're going to have to be a Christian. That's what he's really saying to you and to me. I want you to look at verse 15, I believe it is, chapter 15 and verse 16. He said, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Notice what it says. And he said, ordain you that you should, go forth and bring forth fruit. Now that's what God said. That's know what I said, or I thought about it. That's exactly what the Bible said. You and I ought to bring forth fruit for God. Every week somebody ought to be born into the family of God in Pulpit Spring Baptist Church. You see how much we're failing God? It lets me know some things in the Christian walk of life. So I could go on. Not only are we chosen by God, I want to bring you something else. Did you know Romans 8 and 15? We are adopted once by God. Let me just turn there. I want to read this, a scripture to you and I tonight. Romans 8 and 15. Listen to what it said here in the Bible. I just show you out of the Bible what it is. He said, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. All right, I was chosen by God to be a Christian. You were chosen to be a Christian. All right, I'm adopted into God's family and by the Spirit of Almighty God. That's what he's saying to you and to me tonight. We've been adopted into the family of God. I belong to the family of God. I've been chosen by God. I've been adopted into the family of God. And so he's saying here to you and to me, not only chosen, but adopted into his family, planted in the living vine and made a partaker of the fullness therein. All one in Christ. We're all one in Christ. There's no big me and little you. We're all one in Christ. I could go over that and over that again. And let us realize that we're equal with Christ. Not only we're not big you and little you and all this and that, as people think today. So I just wanted to let you see that in the Bible. Not only that, I want to go one step farther. I want to show you in verse, abiding ones. I now notice we're chosen ones, we're adopted ones, we're abiding ones. You said, where'd you get that? Isaiah in chapter 15, verse 5. He said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So he's saying here, I am abiding in Christ. Our life is hid in Christ, in God. And so what are we doing? We're doing nothing for God. So we need to realize that. So what he's saying here to you and to me is that those who feel, know that their life and strength depends entirely upon their union with the living one, then first planted into Christ, they were also as dry as the board of the tabernacle before they were planted in Christ. Man, we have nothing until Jesus saved us by the grace of Almighty God. All right, we want to go one step farther than that. I want to take you back to Romans 15 and 8 for just a few minutes. We're sanctified ones. Now, this is what he said over in Romans 15 and 16 here in this scripture. And let me just read that to us, because I want to show you where I'm really coming from tonight. A lot of times people read and they don't show you this. And he said, well, I don't know whether that's in the Bible or not. Listen to what he said in chapter 15 and 16. That I should be in the master of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God to the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost of God. I've been chosen by God, not only I've been adopted into the family of God, not only abiding in God, but thank God I'm sanctified in God tonight. And you are too, if you're a child of God. That's what the scripture says. Having been chosen, having been adopted, having been sanctified, and that word sanctified means set apart. I've been set apart for God. God chose me, God adopted me, and I say he received me, and I say he sanctified me, got me set apart to use for his own honor and his glory. Every one of us have been sanctified by the Holy Ghost of God. We've been set apart to do the work of God. The lost man can't do the work out here that God wants done. It's people out here that's been chosen by God, that's got the Spirit of the Lord. That's why he said, if I abide in you and you abide in me, man, we got to abide in him if we're going to have any success in our religious walk of life. Not only I'll tell you that, when the Spirit possesses a Christian, as the sap does the engrafted branch, it goes that God might be glorified in him. Now what did God choose us for and adopt us for, then sanctify us for, that we might bring glory to God? That's our purpose here on earth. If Jesus hadn't had a purpose for every one of us here, he'd have saved us and taken us home to heaven the moment he saved us by his grace. He's got a purpose for us being here, and it's to glorify God in this walk of life. And you glorify God when you bring souls to God. That's bearing fruit. That's what he's really talking about here in the scripture. Then let me go just a couple more steps and we'll close out because we don't want to take up all the time tonight. I want you to go to Acts 1:8. We've not only been chosen, not have only been adopted, not only been sanctified, but did you know what? We have been received into the family of God. Listen to what he said in Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be a witness. Look at that word, witness. He said here, a witness unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Or of the world. It didn't mean he could have said earth or world, either one. You and I are a witness to God to a lost and a dying world. I wonder what the world thinks about you and I tonight as Christians. What do they think about you down there where you work? We are received, one, because we've been placed inside, been chosen. They've been adopted, been sanctified, been received by God, by the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit done every bit of the work in your life and mine and brought us in, I'll tell you, in a relationship with Christ and with God. That's the way it happened. Then I'll tell you, not only that, we go one step farther. We are possessed ones of God. Did you know that? You'll find this in 1 Corinthians 3:16. So I just want to show you some things that we ought to find in the Word of God. This is what he said in 3:16. Know you not that ye are the temple of God? Did you know every one of us sitting here that's been saved by the grace of God, we are the temple of God. That is, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. Whenever you defile the temple of God, I do something that's not right, it grieves God and the Holy Spirit that liveth within in you and me in the Christian walk of life. We're possessed by God. So I'm thankful unto God that we're possessed by Him. Now, branch cannot, I'll tell you, possessed by the sap. It would wither, I'll tell you, be a withered one and cannot show forth the character of the vine. Abide in me and I in you. It is God who dwells in you who doeth the work that needs to be done in my life and your life. That's what God is really saying here unto you and I. Man, if you learn to read this Bible, learn what God has said in the Word of God, we'd be working Christians today, and all day we'd be enjoying our salvation like we've never enjoyed it before. Then we're not only received ones, we're possessed ones, then we're filled ones. You said, where'd you get that? Acts 2:4. Notice what he said in Acts 2:4. He said some things here to us. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Filled with the Holy Spirit. You'll never, never bring forth fruit for God until God fills you with the Holy Spirit of God. That is, God has a preeminent place in your life above everything else. What you want to do, we out here ought to be listening to what the Holy Spirit wants us to do for God. So this is what he's saying unto you and unto me. We have one other thing, and I'm just going to make mention of it. The characteristic of the fruit. We would observe, let us put emphasis on the fact that the fruit is the fruit of the Spirit. That's what he said over in Ephesians 5:9. See, our righteousness, we don't have none of our own. You know, sometimes we rear back and said, boy, I'm above somebody else. No, you're not either. Man, we ought to walk humbly that God lets the Spirit of God dwell in our heart, in our life, and be what God wants us to be from day to day for the glory of God. And so, I'll tell you, is not of the Christian apart from the Spirit, but the outcoming of the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit abiding in the Christian. The branch does not, labor to bring forth a fruit, but it's the sap that brings forth the fruit. Did you know where grapes and everything grow? It's on the vine, and the vine's got to be tapped in to the branch and get the sap from the branch, and then it produces grapes. That's all there is to it. And it won't produce if it is not tapped into the vine. It's got to be tapped into the branch and the vine. That's where it gets its life. We get our life from the Spirit of God. That's what He's really telling us here in the Word of the Lord. We get our life from the Spirit of the Lord, and we've already tapped in on the real thing because we have the Spirit of God. If I'd say everyone stand that's been saved by the grace of God, probably everyone would stand to their feet. All right, if we've been tapped in, I'll tell you, to the real break, we ought to be bringing forth some fruit for God out here to a lost and a dying world. We ought to be doing something for the Lord. I want to challenge your heart tonight over these things that God showed me in the Word of the Lord. Then the fruit means the character of Christ. What should our character be out here in the world? It should be Christ-like. When they assign you something to do at the shop, you get mad because it's a job you don't want to do. Jesus had a lot of jobs to do here on earth. I never did find Him getting angry about the job He had to do. One thing I did find Him angry about, He went into the temple and they was using the house of God not right. He said, "My Father's house is a house of prayer and you've made it a den of thieves." And I tell you right now, we need to be careful how we make the house of God and how we connect things with the house of God. We can make it a den of thieves and a place, for the glory of God. So I just showing you some things here in the Word of the Lord. Now I also find here in this, today the Holy Ghost shed abroad in our hearts the love of God. It is that the string of pearls mentioned in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. The 13th chapter of Corinthians, you know what he mentions? Love all the way through. One right after another. If there's one thing that you and I ought to have in the Christian walk of life, is love. Did you know that? Man, you could be more like Jesus in love than you can any other way. And man, we don't have love one for another. We don't have love for a lost world. We don't have love for that boy or girl out here that's not living right. You said, well, they're a dope addict. Praise God, God can save a dope addict. He can save a prostitute. God can save to the uttermost. What it is, we won't really let our light shine before a lost and a dying world. We need to let Jesus shine before a world. And we find here, he mentions 1 Corinthians 13, the 13th chapter. Jesus might be exhibited in us. He might be exhibited, that is, when people look at me, they ought to see Jesus in my life. They look at you, they ought to see Christ in your life. We ought to act like Jesus. Jesus had love. Regardless of how they treated Him, He knew that they were going to crucify Him. But did you know what? He loved them anyway. He did. And you know Peter denied Him. And he loved old Peter. Of course, I can show you in the 21st chapter of the book of John where he said he came to Peter after he'd already died and resurrected from the grave. And he said, "Peter, lovest thou me?" He said, "Yeah, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He asked him three times. He said, "Well, why don't you feed my sheep?" And he went just a little farther down there and he said, "Simon Peter, lovest thou me more than thee?" He said, "Yeah, Lord, thou knowest I love thee." He said, "Feed my lambs." And he come back the third time and said the same thing to it, and it kind of grieved Peter's heart. But Peter thought of the times that he denied the Lord three times. Jesus bent it all before him after he resurrected from the grave. And Peter was ashamed of himself. And many times I've been ashamed of myself, and you have too. You've done some things you said, "I ought not to have done that. I ought not to have said that." We're bad to say things we ought not to say. Now, after you say them, many times we wish that we hadn't have said them. Then not only that, the fruit is the proof and the power of the Christian. You find that there's the proof and the power of a Christian is whenever we got the sap, which is the Spirit of God in our life. Did you know what? It's easy whenever somebody else starts a service. Why don't you start it? Why don't you get up and testify? Why don't you get up and do what you need to do for God? No, a lot of times we ought to get up and maybe testify and say, well, they don't want to hear me. Yeah, but if God lays it on your heart, they want to hear you. So listen, he said, abide in me and I in you, you cannot bear fruit of yourself. Then the one of us can bear fruit of ourselves. He said, I'm going to start visiting. You better let God lead you to where you need to go. And I'll tell you, whenever you go, then he'll bring glory and honor to God. You'll be a blessing whenever you go to that place. You said, well, they won't maybe come to church. Well, if they don't come to church, you was a blessing to them people that you went and witnessed to God, to the Lord, and to them, and told them about Jesus, what he'd done for your life. You said, well, I can't talk to nobody. You can tell them what Jesus done for you. That's what the Apostle Paul said. He did, you know, he got before them kings over there, Agrippa, and he said, you know what happened to me on the Damascus Road? He says, a light shined out of heaven and said, man, it knocked me to my knees and said, you know what? And there I heard the voice of God said, why kick against the pricks? And he said, man, I said, Lord, what would you have me do? And God saved that man, and he told that wherever he went about his salvation. As one thing that Paul told, he really told about his salvation over and over and over again. Man, if your salvation's real to you, you'll never get tired of telling it. Let's stand to our feet.
169.